Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome into I'd Survive.
That was better than I thought. That was better than I thought. When I tried to do it yesterday, there was a lot of, my voice just cut out and it squeaked.
The message you sent, the voice memo that you sent me yesterday trying to do it was wild. I was like, oh, we're not recording tomorrow.
I didn't think we were.
Yeah, same. Yeah, guys, Caitlin is a little sick today.
I am indeed.
Voice is a little gone. Feeling better, but voice is a little sus. But it's fine.
It's been the most annoying thing because I don't know if I've ever been sick like this before where it's been kind of up and down. So I thought it was gone. And then suddenly my voice was gone. And I was like, okay, this is annoying. And then I felt really sick again. And now I feel fine. My voice is coming back. I think we're on the up, but who knows?
Yeah.
The sickness has been so annoying.
And it's always around the holidays.
Always. Yeah. Without fail.
Okay. Well, this is our final episode that we are recording in 2025. Which is crazy. And then we're going to be taking a 2-week break. So this is coming out the second week or so of January for you guys. Middle 2 weeks, there will be no new episodes. And then we'll be back. We'll be back on the 29th. Yeah. The last week of January and hit the ground running for the year. Okay. I did watch a horror movie this past week. And I know you did as well. Because we watched the same thing.
Oh my God. I was like, I don't know if I did.
We did.
Oh dear. Yeah, we did.
Black Christmas.
Yes. The original 1974.
Yeah. Version. Every time I say it, every time I tell someone that I watch Black Christmas, I just assume that they're going to know that I mean the original. But everyone is like, wait, which one? So I guess the other ones must have made some waves.
Well, I was surprised because everybody always told me avoid the remake, but apparently there's two remakes.
Yeah.
And one of them is supposedly good and one of them is supposedly terrible. 2006 or something is good, but 2000 or 2008, I don't know. But then 2019 is supposedly one of the worst movies ever.
Well,
but I don't know anything about
I kind of want to watch both of those.
Well, of course we do.
You got to know for the lore.
Exactly.
But I enjoyed it. I'm not gonna spoil, but I do want to ask you how you felt about the very end, how it left things.
I kind of liked it, honestly. Yeah. I was like, wait, I had a lot of questions. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
I had a lot of questions at the end. So there's still there's a lot of open-ended things, but overall, I liked the cozy vibes of that movie more than anything else. Literally the coziest horror movie to me.
So many incandescent lights.
Oh, absolutely.
I also liked the ending, but I was immediately I was well, is there a sequel? Where's the sequel? There must have a sequel. And it doesn't. And then when I realized that, I was okay, you know what? I think that's cool.
Somebody told me that the director for that movie is the director of A Christmas Story or something.
What?
And I was wait, that's so funny. But makes sense why it's so Christmas cozy.
Yeah, Christmas cozy, and also not to hate on the 70s. The 70s have some great horror movies, but I do feel like when it comes to the slasher vibe in the 70s, there's and 80s even, there's not as much plot that was happening in those movies. It was more about the score and the scares and the kills and whatever. But this had some interesting characters and an interesting little plot to it, which I just was not expecting going into this one. So it was fun.
Yeah.
So I had an idea. Well, first of all, because today we are going to be talking about Frozen 2010, not the Disney movie, haha.
Actually be so fun.
Right? Oh my God. We just do a little Disney series. Would we survive this movie? I don't know if I'd survive Frozen, the Disney movie, actually.
Right?
I think it's pretty intense.
Now my brain's okay, Patreon ideas. Actually, would we survive non-horror movies? What's wrong with me? Calm down.
Or it's we make you, because I know you probably hate a romance movie for the most part. You're probably very niche about which ones you like. Yes.
I'm so annoying. I'm a kindergartner when I watch romance. I'm oh my God, they're kissing. God. Guys,
so funny.
Do that later.
No, that's funny. Imagine we have a series of romance. Can Caitlin survive the romance movie? Or will she die of secondhand embarrassment?
Literally.
Okay, what am I, what just happened? What am I talking about?
Where are we? I don't know.
Frozen 2010, it's a horror movie that we're covering today, of course. But it's the shortest script, recap script that I've written so far. I usually average around 60 pages, and this one is almost half. It's 33 pages. So I knew Insane. It was going to be a short one, unless we yap like crazy,
and which we is will possible. And we will, don't you worry.
But I was like, okay, we have time for a bit of a longer intro. It's our last recording session for the year. Let's talk to each other about our top five favorite horror movies that we watched in 2025. They don't have to be 2025 horror, just ones we've watched for the first time. We're just gonna assign quick little vibe check survivability scores for them. Okay, wait, so we need to do it this way. I have a plan.
Oh, okay. She has a plan. Guys, Cassie has so many plans. This girl loves to plan. It's amazing.
Literally me making a spreadsheet last night about all of the new movie releases in January 2026 as if I have the time to watch them all. Like,
that's amazing.
I'm constantly planning things that I don't have time for, but it's fine. Perfect. We have time for this.
We sure do.
We'll both say our number five.
Okay.
And discuss those scores briefly, then both say our number four, then both say, you know, like that.
Sure.
So my number five favorite horror movie I watched in 2025 is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Really?
Yes.
That's I crazy.
I loved it. I know. And it's the only, well, it's definitely like the heavy-handed, most comedy-driven of my top five. I think a reason why this is one of my favorites of the year is because of one of the characters in it, which is like actually one of my favorite fictional characters of all time.
Oh my gosh.
Like the most precious person in the world.
For context, I have not seen this film, for anyone wondering.
Oh yeah. So did I forget to mention that if there's any movies in my top five you haven't seen, you're obligated to react to them next year.
Oh, okay. I mean, hey, people ask me to do that one all the time. So
yeah. No, this is one where I'm excited, whether it's on or off camera. I'm so excited for you to get to this one because I'm still trying to figure out your vibe when it comes to horror comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious if you would enjoy this one. And it just helps me add info to my database to better understand your brain.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah. That's I'm looking forward to that. I gave it vibe check 72%.
Okay.
Which isn't surprising for it to be higher because you know it's a comedy, so it gets a little ridiculous. Yeah. We can't have a deeper conversation about why I chose that, but if you've seen that movie, if you know, you know, that's where I'm at.
Amazing. So my number five, this might be, I don't know, I feel like this one is going to be surprising and maybe controversial, but my number five, I went with Fear Street 1978. And
okay, yeah.
I know like the Fear Street are hit or miss for people.
Yep.
That trilogy. I loved the trilogy. I thought it was just like such a fun universe to step into.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one's my favorite because it's like the camp vibe, which just, yes. I love the camp vibe. And also I'm so biased to anything that Sadie Sink touches. I know. Love that girl.
She's great.
She's amazing. Every time she's in anything, I'm like, yep, that's my favorite character. Right, without a doubt. She's just so great. And she does a great job in that film. And in terms of survivability, I gave myself a 74. Just because I think – I don't – this is – like I'm so annoying about this. I'm like, just run away. Like, literally.
Literally me panicking, looking for the mute button, and I couldn't find it. And then I had to cough. I'm not the one to be doing this today while you're standing over there with a voice like that.
That is so funny.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
But, yeah, honestly, Fear Street is just kind of cozy, fun horror. It's not, like, anything groundbreaking by any means. Yeah. In fact, it actually more – plays like homage to older films, like that's kind of part of the point of those movies, but I just loved the whole little trilogy.
That feels right for you, having a Fear Street on there.
Yeah,
I also liked them, but for some reason, like, I watched them when they first came out, which I don't know how long ago that is at this point, but and I remember liking them, but then like they just didn't stick in my mind. Like, I don't even, I need to rewatch. Like, I don't even know what happened.
Really?
I remember certain imagery. Because I feel like the imagery really stands out a lot of the time in that show. But like the plot, I'm like, I don't even remember because I want to watch Prom Queen.
Do you? Sorry.
Well, I need to. I shouldn't say I want to. I just need to. I need to know.
No, valid. Valid.
And I probably should do a rewatch of the trilogy before I do that.
Well, you don't really need to.
Well, it's not related. Okay.
It's not. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. My number four horror of the year is Strange Darling.
Oh, this is a new one.
Yes. Is it like...
Or is it not?
It is newer. It is newer. It's from 2023. So last couple of years it came out. And I think it's such a hidden gem. Like, this is one of those movies where I do wish... when I finished watching it, I wanted to go and watch reactions to it. And I was surprised when, like, there weren't very many. I gave myself a 14% for this one because the characters are just, like, on another level. Literally, like, could not be me.
Got you.
But it is such a good, fun mind game horror thriller. And it plays with, like, how it's one of those movies where the story unravels in a nonlinear way. Like, different, you're kind of jumping around 12 hours earlier, 14 hours ahead, 2 hours earlier. Like, it's unfolding in, like, a really cool way. It's such a cool movie. It's one of those movies that, even if you're not a horror fan, like, I would recommend.
You're making me want to watch this because I've always heard of it, but I never watched
it. It's great. Yeah, 14%.
Love that. My number four, Sinners. Now,
okay, cool.
We've talked about this movie. Obviously, it is one of the best horror movies of the year. I really don't think that we need to debate that. Mm-hmm. This one's interesting, survivability. Cassie and I actually discussed literally this at one point off the pod. We're white, so it makes the conversation a little, I don't know if it makes it irrelevant or more interesting. Because outside of the vampire, outside of like them being attacked, like we're not part of that group. Yeah. So like I put 92 mostly because of my whiteness. Unfortunately, that's the reality. But like that movie is just one of the most one of the deepest horror movies I think I've watched. Yeah. Like the storytelling and the emotion in that movie is just next level. And if you haven't seen it, you need to be watching it because it's such a beautiful, beautiful film.
Mm-hmm. It is great. And it's like, I've never seen, obviously one of the big reasons too as to why it did so well is just its blend of genres and how it included music.
Absolutely.
I've just never seen music incorporated into horror like that before. And it's something that we need to do more if we can do it right ever again, because they just did it perfectly. Like, how can you do that again? Right. Something like that in any, I don't know. Sure. But yeah, that's a good pull. All right. My number three horror of the year is American Psycho.
Oh my god, you just watched this and we just talked about it.
Maybe some recency bias, but I know fair. it's a great movie. This one is just heavy on, it's a perfect cast and amazing performances and really, really tight dialogue, like great dialogue. And it does have, it's one of those horror movies that has heavy social messaging without it like taking over the entire movie. It does take over the whole, that it is the whole movie, but it's done in a smart way where the movie is enjoyable without thinking about the social messaging, even though you definitely should be. Otherwise, think about yourself.
Oh, fascinating.
And I feel like a lot of like dangerous men in the world, it's because of that ego. They're very ego-driven. Mm. And I feel like with a lot of like staple villains in horror, you kind of can end up idolizing them, which is fine. It's fun. It's fictional. Sure. But this is one of those movies where it's like, we are not here to idolize him. Like,
wow.
Look at this guy.
This movie sounds deep, but also Cassie's just really smart when it comes to film. So I know I'd watch it and I'd be like, that was fun, guys. Have a good one.
But the thing is, that's why the film is so great, because you can also do that. I gave myself a 50% on this one because it's like not so much about, you know,
the victims.
It's very much wrong place, wrong time. It is what it
Got
is.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one you need to get to someday. It's probably, don't you have one of those scratch-offs?
Yes, I think it is on there. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah, of course it is. My number three is Alien, which we did talk about on the podcast before. I did finally watch that movie this year, and I think it's just like so well respected for very obvious reasons because the atmosphere – and like the ship design and the creature design and the creature reveals, like everything in that movie is like the energy and the tension is so good throughout that entire film. And I just absolutely loved it. And I can't believe it took me that long to watch it.
I know. I felt the same way. I think I watched it for the first time last year. Like 2024. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had the same experience.
Exactly. Like the creature, the alien creature itself is such a cool, horrifying design. And like the different stages of it throughout the movie is cool. Unsurprisingly, I gave myself a 3%.
Valid.
Because like we're in space. I don't think it's.
No, unless you are Ripley. Exactly. I'm so sorry. You can't do it. Like only Ripley can do it.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not going to say zero, but like we're pretty much zero.
Yeah. I still can't believe like how old that movie is. It doesn't feel it.
No. Yeah. It feels like just looking at it, I couldn't believe how old it was. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, this looks more modern than it is. It's crazy.
My number two movie of the year, horror movie of the year, is Pet Sematary.
Oh my God.
As you know.
Wait, did you just put this there so I would have to cover it?
Well, yes. You know, I was like blown away by this movie. Like it was just such an unexpected experience. It just wasn't what I thought it was in a good way. Ooh, I did give myself an 87% for this movie.
Okay.
Because I don't know if that's a little cocky of me, but the events of this movie, I do feel like I wouldn't do the things that these characters are doing that are getting them into the situations that they're getting into.
Interesting.
But again, that could, it's kind of a bold thing for me to say and a cocky thing for me to say, because it's also one of those situations where it's like, you don't know until you're in that position.
Mm, okay.
But I really don't think that would be me. Outside of survivability, it's just a great movie. I really don't think any other Stephen King will ever top it for me. Like, okay. I don't think it will. And I've seen the big ones, the big horror staples. And this one just came out of left field. And I was like, oh my God, why is this not the one that like everyone is talking about? But yeah.
No, I definitely plan on covering that one in this coming year. Cassie knows about it. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. My number two for this year is the movie Carrie. Oh my God, Stephen King. Hey, look at this.
Oh my gosh.
That's we both had Stephen King at number two.
Why are we like this? No,
that's crazy. That's so crazy. Carrie was a movie, like I read the book first and then watched the movie and still adored the movie.
That's which great.
Anytime that happens, I think of that as a win. Whereas like The Shining, everyone knows my thoughts on The Shining. I love the book. I freaking hate that movie with a fiery burning passion. I know. You know what? Crucify me. I get it. But
I need to read that book. I've only seen the movie.
Oh, the book. I just love the book.
Maybe I wonder if I'll feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously the order on which you do things affects it, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the comparison.
Yeah.
But Carrie, this is another example. I don't know if it's part of like when it came out, but it's got a little bit of that cozy nature and also like the grittiness. We're at a high school. The character of Carrie is so interesting. And then the way the entire like climax of the movie plays out is so like striking and amazing. Have you seen the original Carrie?
I have, but I was in high school when I saw it. So it's another one where like there's imagery that stands out in my head and like a very general plot, but I need to give that one a rewatch.
I love both the book and the movie. I gave myself a 5% on this one, very low again.
Oh my
because
gosh.
It very much also leans into wrong place, wrong time at the end of the day. So,
a lot of casualties.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to number one.
This has to be a podcast episode because you said one of yours was. What the heck is it?
You are not going to be surprised at all.
Okay.
My number one horror movie that I watched this year is Funny Games.
Oh, duh. I should have picked up on that.
Which I still stand at, obviously, a 0% there.
I love it.
So I still need to watch the remake because I remember that is the American remake is the same director. So I still need to watch that. I'm very curious. But I mean, I don't know. I just don't see how it can get even better than the first one. Well, also, it's like you're probably biased to whichever one you watch first because the twist is what is like the big moment. And so it's like, I'm not going to be surprised by the twist again. But yeah, just such a cool movie that can never be replicated.
Well, yeah. No, it's funny because I was recently going over my Scratch poster and that's on there. Like, awesome. There's so many movies that we covered on the pod that you were the one to tell me the story of that are on there. And I'm like, all right, I need to watch these so I can scratch them off. It'll make me happy.
Yeah.
No, but that's a good poll for number one. My number one, do you think you know what it is by any chance?
No, should I?
No, oh not God, necessarily.
Will you give me hints? I want to play a game.
Okay. It's a movie that you really wanted me to watch.
Oh my God. It's hard because there's so many movies I want you to watch.
You were the one who pushed me to watch this film.
Now that you say that, I'm going to be like so mad when I hear what it is.
It's an emotionally driven movie featuring a certain version of a creature that we hate seeing in film.
What is this movie? Oh my God. No, just tell me.
Train to Busan.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. No, I should know.
Yes.
I loved your reaction to that. That was one of my favorite reactions of yours this year.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, that movie is perfection. I just have no notes on it. I just think that the emotion in that movie like is so strong. Like by the end, you're just completely emotionally devastated. And also like the messaging in it is really good.
Yeah.
The actual zombies in that movie are so good.
So
like
good.
I'm not a zombie person. I don't love zombie movies.
Yeah, same.
But this didn't feel like a zombie movie, even though like it's hard to explain. It's not like this was a zombie movie. It was a movie that had zombies in it. Yeah. And these zombies happened to have really good contortion and they were speedy. Yes.
I loved those two things are huge. And I really just love the design where it's like not over the top. Because it just makes it feel more real. Like they still look human, but then you look at their eyes and their face and it's like, oh wait, that's not you. But you could mistake them for themselves for a minute.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a beautiful one. I gave myself like a 27. I feel like that might be high, but I'm imagining like myself running and hiding. I think I would die eventually, but throughout the course of the movie, would I die?
Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's true, because these zombies are going for crowds. If you just break apart from the crowd and are able to hide,
exactly,
then you just got to worry about like eating
something. That's my exact thought process.
Yeah. I'm curious about that universe. Does that movie have a sequel? I think it might have a sequel.
I think it does, but no one talks about it because I don't think it's very good.
Got it. Because I am curious about what comes of that universe as far as like what – the world, like that area turns into, like, does it become habitable? Is that the word? Habitable again?
Habitable. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sequel called Peninsula, which is a 2020 film. So
I feel like
that's a year. I don't know why. I feel like so many of the movies, once you hit 2020, suddenly we're just like in a decline. More lately. So it's like,
well, I do feel like that 2019 to 2021 era, a lot of things getting shut down for around that, the pandemic. Like, I feel like a lot of creativity was probably also stunted of what people were trying to do. And then they just wrapped it up and tried to figure it out and do what they could. And it just didn't work.
Fair. Yes, absolutely.
It's time for Frozen. Frozen is a 2010 psychological horror survival film.
Perfect.
And I did say again, not to be confused with the Disney movie Frozen. Like, just really unfortunate that Disney completely overshadows this. Every time I had to look anything up, I'd have to say Frozen horror movie. Otherwise, it's just all Disney.
That's so true.
It's directed by Adam Green. I always like to look back on the director's work when I cover movie background for the podcast. And there's a title of Adam Green's that really jumped out at me that I wanted to share with you.
Oh, dear.
It's called Ginger Dead Man 2,
Passion of
the Crust.
Oh my God. He was involved in Ginger Dead Man? This is huge.
No, this is so – what do you know about Ginger Dead Man? You just know of main movie and that it's a thing.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he directed that sequel and I kind of like spiraled on Wikipedia. Like, what is this? Because it's not just like – a movie or a sequel. It's a whole franchise, the Ginger Dead Man situation.
Of course it is.
And there's a third installment called Ginger Dead Man 3, Saturday Night Cleaver. And there's a fourth installment called Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong. That one is a crossover movie with the main character from, you guessed it, Evil Bong.
Yep, I've heard, yes.
So yeah, outside of the Ginger Dead Man sequel, Adam is also the creator and director of the horror franchise Hatchet, which did okay. I've heard of the franchise. It's like a 2000 situation.
Okay, I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's one of those that I've heard of, and I might have seen the first one back in middle school. I don't know, but I don't really remember. I saw so many movies in middle school, horror movies in middle school. As far as the cast, we have Sean Ashmore, who you might know from the Disney Channel show In a Heartbeat. It's a little before our time, In a Heartbeat
okay.
is.
Okay.
And then he was also in the Disney Channel original movie Cadet Kelly.
Oh my God.
Yes. He played Brad. And all I remember from that movie is women. So like I clearly need to rewatch. I don't remember a Brad in the
movie. Me neither.
But he was in it. We also have Kevin Zegers, who I actually recognize from Gossip Girl. He played drug dealer Damien.
Oh, so. Love that.
And then we have Emma Bell. She plays Molly in Final Destination 5 and also Amy in The Walking Dead. If you know, you know. I don't, but I think she's a big Walking Dead character. And this was like her first big thing because in the movie it's like introducing Emma Bell.
Oh, cool. Got you. Yeah.
So I love when movies do that. I feel like that's more of an older movie thing. Even for this, I'm surprised they did that in 2010. I feel like that doesn't happen as much, but it's so cute when they like a little introducing card. It premiered at the 2010 Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
And apparently there were a handful of faintings that were reported during its premiere.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
No, I was surprised to see it. But apparently it was due to like the intense suspense of the movie. It wasn't like a visual thing that was that they were seeing that was making them faint. It was like the suspense being drawn out was causing people to faint.
Wild. I mean, my mind obviously went to, okay, we're severing an arm. Like,
right.
That's where my brain goes. Yeah. Passing out from suspense, I would love to experience that level of suspense. Like, I'm serious. Like, I know.
Yeah. It's a compliment to the movie for sure.
It is.
So it went on to have a theatrical release as well, pulling in $3.8 million.
Nice.
I'm not sure what the budget was, but that sounds good. And it's sitting at a 64% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not bad for a horror movie.
Not bad. So that's it. Let's get into Frozen.
Let's do it.
We open on a busy ski resort, skiers and snowboarders showing off a level of balance that I personally don't have.
Oh, same.
So good for them. Actually, I do need to ask you, have you tried skiing or snowboarding or any of that?
Hell no.
You haven't even tried?
Nope. Nope. I would that would be a bad time. I don't want to break a leg.
I understand. I tried one time. I tried skiing once when I was like 13. And I was like getting passed up by 3-year-olds on the bunny hill.
You're definitely not alone in that experience. I feel like that's common.
Yeah. But as a 13-year-old, I was so embarrassed.
Yeah, right?
Honestly, I could never try snowboarding though. That's too much balance.
Oof, no.
Skiing, maybe I'll give it another shot.
I think I'm just like scared of, I hear about so many accidents. Ski accidents.
Oh my God. Have you seen that TikTok? It's like a TikTok that I see every year. It's this guy that got stuck in, I think it's called a tree. What is it called? A tree fell. Oh gosh. I don't know ski terminology. Someone who knows skiing or snowboarding is going to probably laugh at me for whatever I just said. But it's basically like really, really soft snow that like gathers pretty high and it looks like it's solid. But then when you go over it, you just fall right into it. And there was this guy who, it was like this big, you know, serious mountain ski hill. And he got trapped in one of those and was just under there for like 30 minutes, had accepted his death.
Yeah.
And another skier just happened to take that trail and saw a little bit of his ski sticking out.
And oh my
he,
God.
Like, stopped and went over and, like, dug him out and saved his life. And I'm just like, that's terrifying. Like, I don't want to be messing around with trails like that.
Nope.
I'll be on the very, very easy commercial trails.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's insane.
Okay, see, we're already yapping. It's been like three sentences.
Look at us go.
Okay, we meet Dan, his girlfriend Parker, and his best friend Lynch. And they're standing off to the side of the chairlift, coming up with a plan as to how they're going to get the attendant to let them on, because I guess they don't have the money to buy ski tickets for all three of them. It's an odd opening. Like, I personally was like, okay, if you don't have the money to ski, like, why did you come to this ski resort?
Yeah, but that's like a weird thing.
It's odd. I guess Dan has been here before and he knows a girl who works here that has let him on without paying before. So he's just like trying to take advantage of that situation again and get his friends on for free too.
Nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that worker, that girl, isn't in today. And instead, there's some random worker dude that they're going to have to try to convince to let them on instead.
Oh my.
So they have $50 to give, like probably enough for half of one of them.
Yeah, skiing is expensive.
Yeah, and this is like a big mountain, like it's a big resort. It's a fancy one. Dan tells Parker that she should go over to the guy and flirt a little, hand him the 50, tell him that she and her girlfriends lost their credit card, basically butter him up to let them on.
Oh, jeez.
Which, like, great boyfriend of the year over here.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be the one to do it, and she's like, Dan, why can't you do it? And Dan's like, well, you're a girl. A beautiful girl with a beautiful smile. So you're our best shot.
And I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And then he goes ahead and like unzips her coat, revealing her lacy, scandalous tank top underneath.
Oh.
And then he smacks her on the ass and sends her over to the attendant.
Oh.
So he's like, you have a beautiful smile. Let me unzip that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay.
That's thanks. Nice.
Yeah. Parker walks up to the attendant and asks to bum a cigarette, which he hands over. And this guy's name is Jason. And she's like, oh my God, my brother's name is Jason. And he's like, okay, that's cool. what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
So she goes into the spiel about how she's brought her girlfriends all the way up here from Salem State, and she accidentally left her credit card at a gas station on the drive up. So could he please let her and her two friends get up in exchange for a personal 50? Jason's like, I don't know. I could lose my job over this.
Yep.
Back to the boys, Dan and Lynch watching from a distance. Lynch makes like a snide comment and is like, she just had to come skiing today. And Dan's like, you said you wouldn't mind. And Lynch insists, no, I don't mind at all. I'm just saying, we haven't seen you at Fezziwig's for a dollar pitcher since last semester, and you don't show up to Monday Night Football. So, like, basically, he's missing his bro time.
Yep, for sure.
And Dan's just like, dude, I have a girlfriend now. I don't know what you want me to do.
Uh-huh.
And Lynch accepts that, but at the same time is like, Mount Holliston was always our thing, and she can't even ride, so, like, it's a little weird. So, okay, T, it's then that Parker waves them over. All is forgiven for a moment. They're excited to get a cheap ride up the hill.
Yeah.
And they get in line, and when they make it up near the attendant to get on a chair, Jason sees that it's two guys that she has with her.
I was thinking about this. Her and her girlfriends are two dudes. Like, what are we doing?
He's going to see it, and he's annoyed, and he's like, girlfriends, huh? And Parker just smiles and is like, sorry.
Tati.
And they go. Yeah.
Wow.
So we get on the chair and we're riding the lift up to the top of the mountain.
Okay.
And it's a tense ride because of the three amigos we've got here. Like, there's tension, you know. Dan thanks Parker for getting them on the lift and he calls her babe, which she calls him out on because he never uses pet names apparently.
Oh.
And then that turns into a whole conversation about how she wishes that he would call her different pet names and be more affectionate in general toward her.
Mm.
And Lynch is on the side just like hating the third wheel energy. Like, please, can you guys talk about this later? And then Parker starts smoking. And of course, Lynch hates that too and thinks smokers are idiots and he hates the smell. So it's like just everything about this girl, it just annoys him.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he just wants to be a hater so bad.
Yeah. So the vibes are off, and that means it's the perfect time for the lift to come to a sudden stop.
Personal hell right there. No, thank you.
Everyone's looking around with like, hey, what's the big idea energy? And from the look on Parker's face, we see that she's genuinely freaked out. And Lynch laughs with an eye roll going, what, she's afraid of heights too? Like, why do we bring her, you know?
Oh my God. All right, I'm gonna slap a bitch. And by bitch, I mean Lynch.
like, it's not her fault. This is scary. We are very high up. Even someone who's not afraid of heights, yes, it's kind of a little nerve-wracking. Dan reassures Parker that it's probably just someone struggling to get on the moving chair at the start, and like, they just had to pause to help someone get on.
Oh my God, that's actually, that brings up, like, I have a lot of anxiety over, like, things that don't stop moving that you have to get on.
Oh, yeah.
I always feel like I'm going to be the person that's, like, fucks up. Oh my God.
I know. Getting on a roller coaster, it freaks me out when they, like, open up the gates and it's like, okay, go grab a seat. Oh my God, at Universal, this was so scary. At Universal, when I went to, like, Harry Potter World, they have my favorite ride of all time. Yeah. It's, like, Hagrid's roller coaster. The compartments are just on a constant moving track. Like, they literally don't stop. And so it's like, okay, go. You have to run and get on and get buckled before it goes. And it's so scary. Why is it so scary?
Yes.
At the ski hill I went to, I didn't even go on the chairlift. I only used, they have like the magic carpet with a rope. Oh. Have you seen that? It's like a thing that moves you up. You just stand and it moves up. But yeah, no, I feel you about, that's such a niche thing to have anxiety over, but I feel that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's being a hater. She's scared of heights. That's so stupid, he thinks. Dan's reassuring Parker, and he's like, hey, there's only one time in history that one of these chairlifts has fallen down from the track. Parker rolls her eyes and is like, you're just making that statistic up. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Why would you know that?
Yeah. And then Lynch pipes in going, plus, statistics don't work on smokers. Which is like kind of funny. It's like kind of funny.
Wait, I don't even get it. Why is it?
Just because like there's so many statistics as to like why you shouldn't smoke, but
smokers
obviously don't care about those statistics if there's, you know.
I see. I get it now.
Did you ever think that maybe she didn't realize and she's addicted and she does know the statistics and she wants to quit? You know, like you can go down a rabbit hole. Just stop being a hater. Like you don't know her.
Yep.
Also, because Lynch knows that Parker is scared, he's like the asshole that starts jumping up and down in his spot. Like on his butt, like moving, making the chairlift rattle on its hinges.
That's not funny. That's not
funny. I hate people like this. I was really, I'm not even scared of heights, but I've been in that situation before where I've had friends that do shit like that. And I'm like, like stop. Mm-hmm. I'm not friends with them anymore. But, you know, high school, different time.
Yep.
Okay. Don't worry. Their chair does not fall despite his antics.
Okay, good.
And the lift starts to move again. They make it to the top. And they get off at the top of the mountain. They get binded properly to their snowboards, except for Lynch, who claims that snowboards are too emo for him. And he's all about the real sport, the skis.
Oh, dear God.
At the top, Lynch sees an attractive woman falling over, trying to get attached to her snowboard. So he runs over to help her. And he's definitely into her and going for like the nice guy move, which at this point, I honestly can't tell if he is a nice guy and just hates Parker or if he's like faking the nice guy thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because like right now I hate his guts, but because of the way he's treating her. So.
Yeah. Which so you're not the nicest guy, but I don't know. I get that he's like, she's stealing my best friend away, but it's like, bro, this is what happens.
Exactly.
So yeah, the woman's name is Shannon and Shannon's boyfriend, Ryan, storms over and pushes Lynch back for being all over his girlfriend, like helping her get strapped in to her snowboard, which like he wasn't being all over her. Like this guy is just, this is weird. Mm-hmm. This guy coming up and getting so mad. Ryan needs to chill. So anyways, they do part ways and it's time to ski down the mountain. So of course, we get a montage. They're having fun, even though Parker is definitely struggling.
Yeah.
And later on, they take a break to eat some food in the lodge cafeteria. And
that's my favorite part. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I worked in – one of my first jobs was working in a ski lodge cafeteria.
Oh my God.
And it was so fun because it was like literally just me and everyone, all the other girlies in my grade, because they put all the girls in the cafeteria and then all the guys were like the instructors outside. Okay, misogyny.
Oh,
but
whoa. Okay.
Whatever. I didn't want men in my cafeteria anyway. We had fun, me and my girls.
Good.
They're in the cafeteria, and as Parker's walking back with her food, she overhears Lynch tell Dan that he really wants to do a real run, just the two of them, instead of having to watch Parker fall down on the bunny hill again. And then he gets super awkward when he notices Parker has overheard him, like walked up behind him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you missed the part where I was talking about how much I'm loving our bonding time, though. Like, this has been great.
Ew,
this has been really
just
fun.
Like, shut up. I can't.
I know. Parker's not buying it and is like, honestly, I can hang out here. It's no big deal. I don't want to intrude on guy time or anything. Like she's not forcing herself to be like, she didn't force her way in. Like Parker literally just want, or not Parker, she's Parker. Her boyfriend Dan literally just wanted her to come. So she came and she's
exactly.
Actually completely fine with like sitting out the rest of the day. You don't have to like behind her back.
Right. Like annoying. I could understand like that perspective, but like don't be annoying about it.
Yeah. When she offers to sit behind, stay back, Dan is like, nope, we're not leaving you behind. Let's go out for another run. And on the way to the chairlift, Lynch gets called over by that girl, Shannon, who explains to him that before that was her ex-boyfriend who got all defensive.
Oh.
But they share the same friend group and they had like this trip planned as a friend group and things are just awkward and she apologizes. Of course, Lynch is very understanding and he asks for her number, but he doesn't carry his phone when he skis. It's like in the locker in the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them have a pen. So he's like, okay, so just tell me your number and I'll try to commit it to memory. Like he's just going to like repeat it to himself over and over.
Yeah.
Back over to the ski lift, Lynch catches up with Parker and Dan, but they find out that the resort is shutting down the mountains early due to bad weather scheduled to roll in soon.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Of course, our group sweet talks the poor attendant and convinces him to let them go and just do one more quick run.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, he lets them on and off they go on the chairlift. And a minute or so later, some other worker comes over to our attendant, Jason, and is like, hey, boss wants to see you, said he needs you on the schedule next week. And Jason's pissed because apparently next weekend is like his brother's bachelor party and he put in his PTO months ago and oh my God. So, fine. He tells this other attendant guy, there's three more coming down yet. Wait for them. And then we're all set. But back up to Parker, Lynch, and Dan, they're slowly making their way up the mountain when they look down and they see some last-minute skiers doing a jump and they're getting pumped that that'll be them in a couple minutes. But, oh no, those three skiers make it to the bottom of the mountain. And the new attendant sees that and is like, okay, perfect, we're done.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Oops.
So he goes ahead and he just turns off the chairlift.
Oh my God.
Up to our core three, the chairlift comes to a stop and they're like that sucks just because it's cold.
Right.
But they aren't scared or anything. Just they're just like, okay, weird, annoying again. Yep. For some reason, they decide to strike up a conversation asking each other what they think the worst way to die would be, which is just absolutely the conversation I would love to be having in this moment.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. They talk about like drowning and shark attacks and fire and jumping from skyscrapers. And then there's some Star Wars reference that involves getting slowly digested over thousands of years.
Oh.
But eventually the chit chat comes to a stop and Parker's like, okay, why haven't they started up the chairlift again yet? It's been a minute. And Dan tells her to just give it a minute. And Lynch is like, yeah, this is nothing. One time I was stranded on one of these for 25 minutes because some girl fell over at the top of the chairlift and they had to stop the whole thing. But then the huge lights stationed all around the mountain start turning off one by one.
Ooh.
And we see it happening behind them and they don't notice until the light right above them goes. And they're
that's cool.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I like that shot. This is when they start screaming for help and Parker more so than the other two because she thinks that they don't realize they're up here. She's like, oh, my God, they forgot us, obviously. Yeah. And Lynch is screaming because he thinks Jason, the attendant, is doing this on purpose, like just giving them a scare for, you know, messing with him today.
Yeah.
And then he turns to Dan and is like, what the hell did you say to that guy to piss him off? He's doing this on purpose. And Dan's like, what are you talking about? I didn't say anything. But I promise you, I'm going to kick his ass. This isn't funny. But Parker's like, this cannot be a prank. Like, the lights have turned off. There's no way they're doing this just to scare us.
Yeah, that's a little extra.
Dan counters, though, like, okay, maybe it's a power outage. Like, that kind of stuff happens all the time. It'll all kick back in soon. Worst case scenario, they'll just have to send up a ladder. Or I'll just have to jump. And they look down. And I would say, I'm really bad at this, but
yeah,
I would say we're about three or four stories high.
Okay.
Off the ground. Parker's panicking worse and worse with every second that passes. This is really bad. Not just because they might be stranded overnight, but because the ski resort has closed the rest of the entire weekend due to the weather. Like it's a Friday night And they only are open weekends. They are going to be closed literally for the next week.
The whole week. Okay. Yeah. In my brain, I'm like, okay, well, we can survive till morning. But it's more than that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's got to be. She's screaming and screaming for help, but Lynch is the one to comfort her and promise that this will be over soon. They'll all be laughing about how scared they were because of this teensy power outage.
Tee-hee.
And, right. Some time passes with the three of them just sitting there waiting. And Parker's like, I have to pee. And Lynch goes, me too. And he starts to unzip because, you know, he's just ready to pee off the side of this chair. But Parker's like, ew, what? Like, no, are you serious? But then she's like, okay, actually, I'm just jealous. Like, what? How am I supposed to go?
Yeah, right.
And Lynch starts to lift up the ski bar, like the lift on the ski. Yep. What? The bar on the ski lift.
I got you.
Thank you. And he's like, you can just stand and squat over the edge. And Parker stops him before he can lift the bar all the way and is like, are you crazy? Keep the bar down. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about the height here. It might be 4 to 5 instead of 3 to 4.
I was going to say, like, okay, like, let's establish this. Is this high enough where you are going to die if you jump?
If your jump is bad, it depends on how you land. I feel like it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, if I was in a situation, jumping is absolutely last resort. It's high enough for it to just be okay. Like, okay, I'm only jumping because I know I'm about to die here.
Okay. Okay. Got you.
Parker decides that she just won't pee. Like, she's just going to hold it. And Lynch is like, what, all week? Which, like, that starts them bickering again because, okay, yep. So now you agree that we could be stuck up here all week, Lynch. Like you were just saying, it's just a little power outage.
Right.
And Lynch is like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to wait to pee. So yes, he lifts the bar and he pees off the chair. And while he's doing that, the storm really starts rolling in now. And it's getting super windy. And there's like a hail snow mix that's starting to come down.
I am such a bitch baby when it comes to the cold. Like, maybe that's part of why I would never ski or snowboard. Like, I don't want to be out in the snow. I'm cold.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. I'm sitting here with my heating pad right now, and it's not even that cold. It's just I just want to be warm all the time.
Yeah, I think I veer in that direction. I mean, I don't know. But listen, these Wisconsin winters that I go through, I have some, like, thick skin, but also I don't really choose to go outside, whether it's super hot or super cold. Like, I like my 70 degree indoor temp. I'm comfortable here. But thankfully, now they see a snowplow climbing the mountain, like heading toward
them. Oh my goodness.
And the core three are relieved. Okay. They're laughing, like, oh my gosh, see, it was just a technical difficulty. They're coming to get us. And the snowplow pretty much like stops right below them. But then we cut to inside the snowplow, and the worker has stopped because he's receiving a call. And the guy on the other end is like, dude, where are you? And the worker answers that he's heading up the mountain to pick up Barnes, whatever that means. But the guy on the phone is like, Barnes is already down here. The mountain is clear. You're good, man. So this worker rolls his eyes and is like, oh. And he starts reversing back down the mountain. And he's like, it's very heavy duty. Like, unless you're like craning your neck to look up and see the ski lifts, you're not going to notice them. So he doesn't. Once he starts reversing, like, our core three start freaking out. Like, what is he doing? Why is he leaving us? One of them throws their goggles down to try and catch his attention. But the worker is like looking backwards as he's reversing. So he doesn't see it. And Lynch throws down one of his ski poles and it hits the hood of the snowplow and makes the worker look forward again for a second. Like, what was that? But he doesn't see anything. So he continues to look back in reverse.
That's so frustrating.
I know. I knew you would be so annoyed by this part.
Because, like, they're doing a very smart thing, actually. It's just not working out.
Yes, which I could see realistically, like, it going this
absolutely
way.
No, I agree.
Which is what makes it annoying. It's one of those, like, realistic, frustrating moments.
Yes.
Yeah, so he looks, doesn't say anything, starts reversing again. Of course, a helmet gets thrown down while he's looking back again. Mm. And this time it doesn't hit because now he's too far away. Ugh. And off he goes, disappearing back down the mountain. And this is already our first survivability check-in.
Well, damn. Is it wrong to say 100 right now?
I said 100.
Yeah, I just don't, like, right up to this point, nothing's happened. We're chilling. I'm having a lot of thoughts already, and I'm going to let the story play out because I don't want to, like, jump the gun. But I'm having a lot of thoughts about, all right, how am I getting out of this situation? But I would like to see how the characters try to get out of this situation before I say anything.
Okay. Some time passes. It's been hours now. And Lynch is just trying to keep everyone awake and talking, asking them to rank their favorite cereals, what celebrities they would hook up with if they had the chance, like stupid things like that.
Okay, cool.
And Parker takes her glove off to light up a cigarette and accidentally drops the glove down to the ground below.
Oh my God. No, kill me. No, it's bad. Just kill me now.
Right. My hand. That's bad.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
This is when Dan notices like how rough Parker looks. Like her face is so red and he is afraid that she's going to get frostbite if she hasn't already. So he makes the decision, Dan does, to jump off the chairlift.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. He's like, let's see how this goes.
They've come to that point. It's been hours. They've realized they have been forgotten or missed or whatever. She's looking bad. He's like, okay, I'm going to do it. There's okay. this big buildup.
He's definitely the most disposable. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Because he's the glue. So it's interesting to get rid of the glue and then just exactly. have the two. Yeah. There's this big buildup to the moment. And finally, he does it. He jumps and he lands on his feet.
Why?
Which I don't know why he would jump like this.
I would like try to land on my side. Like I would try to like kind of do a little bit of a dive, like a side dive.
Yeah.
That would be my go-to.
I would resort to being like, okay, I'm about to crack a rib.
Oh, absolutely. I know I'm going to be hurting.
I'm going to try my best not to. I'd rather break an arm or a rib than fuck up my legs because what help am I then?
Absolutely. Right.
But yeah, no, he lands on his feet and immediately breaks both of his legs on impact. And we see his bones sticking out of the knee area. Legs bent at a very odd angle.
No, we don't because I don't want to.
I know, the bone stuff, the bone stuff. Dan starts screaming in pain and is honest when he tells the other two, like, yep, it's bad. Like, it's bad. I don't think I can – he doesn't think he can even roll down the hill like this. Like, his legs are – it's bad. The visuals are pretty bad. So now, obviously, as well, he's bleeding out fast. Like, blood is pooling around him.
Oh,
so he's
geez.
Like, I'm just going to – I'm stuck here. I can't move, and now I'm going to bleed out. Like, that's great. Yep. So Lynch throws down some bandanas that he has for some reason and instructs Dan to use them as tourniquets to tie them above his knees. So Dan does that. But like, yeah, we're not making any progress as far as getting out of here. Like he's just stuck down there now and we have to hope he doesn't just bleed out and die now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yikes.
Maybe we're actually in a worse position. I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. Lynch is looking around trying to come up with something that he can do here. And he's like, hey, maybe I can climb up to the cable and get to a chair that's closer to the ground. Like if he can monkey bar across the cables.
Okay, this is kind of where my brain was going.
Okay, yeah. The further back you go, obviously, like the closer to the ground you get with the chairlift. And Dan's like, dude, you can't even do a fucking pull-up. Like your mom had to write a letter to get you out of gym class. Like what do you mean you're going to monkey bar across the chairlift cable? But like Lynch doesn't really see what other option they have at this point. They're worried about how many cables he's going to have to climb, like cable section sections he's going to have to climb across until he makes it to a chairlift that he can safely drop from. But Dan is like, no, there's lift poles that have ladders on them. You just have to find your way to one of those. Like apparently they're placed periodically along the ski chair track, just like for maintenance reasons. And they can look back and there's two chairs back. There's a lift pole. It's a lot of upper arm strength and everything. But
can I ask a question?
Like how much space is between chairs?
Okay. I'm curious what this ski lift looks like because in my mind, I'm like, is there any way you can climb up and get on top of like, is there like a bar that he could just climb across?
Mm, no.
Okay.
There's not a bar. It's just the cable. It's very thick, but I don't even think it would – I'm trying to think if it would be thick enough for me to like sit on the cable.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right.
And I don't think I would be able to.
Okay. I will take that out because that was my solution, so I will – eliminate that. I'm trying to look up ski lifts right now because I want to see what they look like. Okay. I'm picturing more like gondola lifts in my head.
What the heck is a gondola lift?
They're like, actually, they look the same. Like, you know what a gondola is, right? I've been on gondolas.
Okay.
But it's the same. I was thinking there was like a bar up there, but it is just a cable.
Just a cable, yeah.
That's it.
And I would say there's probably, I don't know, 50 feet between the lifts. Yeah. While they're trying to figure out the logistics of this, conversation comes to a stop when they hear howling coming from the woods around them.
Oh my God.
And Dan starts to freak out and he's like, oh my God, that's a wolf. That's a wolf.
Yep.
Now, instead of just being terrified that he's going to bleed out, now he's like, okay, they're going to smell my blood and they're going to come eat me alive.
Yeah.
Parker tries to calm him down. She's like, hey, it could be worse, right? And he's like, literally, how? How could it be worse than this?
Yeah.
And she's like, we could be in the Sarlacc pit. And that's the Star Wars thing that they were referencing before. Where you get digested. And Lynch laughs and is like, hey, look at that. Your girlfriend pulled through with a tension breaker. She's all right, man.
Oh,
look
my
at her.
God. Yeah, this is hilarious.
So, yeah, team bonding. This is all it took for Lynch to come around to Parker. Lynch is like nicer to Parker. I mean, trauma bonding as well at this point, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's time to stop being an asshole, which he does. So, thank God. Dan's like, okay, great. That's so funny. That's so great. Please get a pole and get down here. Get to a pole and get down here. Let's keep it moving. Like, okay, enough with the jokes. Like, I'm about to die.
Yeah, right.
So Lynch stands up on the chairlift and Parker holds his legs per his request, just as like a psychological thing to help him feel more secure. But like,
sure.
He's freaked out. It's hard to balance. The chair is like swinging a bit from him trying to stand up.
Right.
And he puts his foot up on the top of the seat's backrest. But as soon as he starts to put some weight down on it, his foot slips and he has to like hold on to Parker and regain his balance because also it's very icy. Like the storm has made this very icy. So the cable is going to be icy too.
True. Does he have his gloves on, right?
Yes, he has both gloves. So the whole thing encrusted in ice. They shout down to Dan that they've just got to hack away at the ice. So like poor Dan puts his hands over his eyes and keeps his head low as like shards of icicles start raining down onto him that they have to hack away above him. And when Dan opens his eyes back up when they're done, there is a wolf standing in front of him, like 3 feet away from him, just snarling.
GG's.
Right? Dan starts freaking out, like, guys, what am I supposed to do, guys? And it looks like this wolf is about to attack, but Parker throws her snowboard down, and it actually manages to scare it off back into the woods. It just runs off. So,
I'm surprised by that.
Lynch focuses again on standing back up on the chair, and this time he's able to use the top of the backrest to leverage himself up to the cable.
Okay.
And the plan here now is to use the cable like a set of monkey bars, climb onto the next one. So he just starts going and he's struggling like almost right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because his snow boots are like really weighing him down.
Oh no.
He maybe gets a fourth of the way across when the metal cable starts to cut through his gloves.
Oh my God.
That's also when he looks down and he sees something and he's like, oh, shit. And he quickly retreats back to the chair with Parker. Parker is confused. She keeps asking him, what happened? What's wrong? He takes a seat next to her, grabs her face, and tells her, don't look down. She, of course, immediately looks down in a panic and sees an entire pack of wolves circling Dan.
Oh, my God.
Like, the wolf just went to get his buddies.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah. There's nothing Dan can do but accept his fate here. And he calls up to Lynch, don't let her look. Don't you let her look. Oh. And Lynch continues to do his best to hold Parker's head in place so she can't look down. And they both cry as they hear the sounds of his friend, her boyfriend, get torn apart by this pack of wolves.
That is horrible. Like,
it's really sad. There's nothing you can do. Like, as soon as he broke his legs, like,
yeah,
you're a 0% mm-hmm. at that point.
Yep.
The only thing you could do differently in that position, if you're going to be the person to jump, is not land that way.
Right. Yeah. That's where I'm thinking right now.
It is such a decent height that I'm like, I wonder how much you can even control how you land.
Right. I mean, aren't really skilled people able to do like a roll?
I wonder.
Isn't that like a thing? Like you
I
can
wonder
roll?
If there's like a world record for like dropping from the highest height.
I hope not, because I don't want people doing that. Like, let's not be doing that. Let's not try to break that.
And if you're doing stuff like that, there's definitely a roll involved for sure.
Oh, can I just bring up like a really off topic?
Yeah.
Fun fact. I was looking at the mean one. The girl, Cindy like Lou Who, in the mean one, she's actually like a stunt woman. Like that's what she does. So I was like, oh my God, she must have been doing all her own stunts and I didn't even pick up on it.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Because you don't see that too often.
No, not at all.
Okay. So that's an RIP to Dan.
Yeah.
We get another passage of time and they're more numb than emotional at this point. Lynch is looking down at his gloves, which have been torn up by the metal cable, and his palms are bleeding.
Yikes.
And Parker decides to ask Lynch the question, why did you let him jump?
What? And
I know. That's crazy to say.
Why are we throwing blame on him? Like, that is wild.
Yes. And Lynch has the same reaction as us. And he's like, you can't be serious. And it turns into this big argument that makes Parker cry and makes Lynch angry because Parker's like, he wouldn't have listened to me if I told him not to jump, but he would have listened to you. Oof. Like you should have. And then she doesn't finish the sentence. Lynch is like, what? Like I should have been the one to jump because who cares if I die?
Yikes. Yikes. This is getting uncomfortable.
Yeah. And she keeps insisting that that's not what she said. And he reminds her that she's been his girlfriend for a year and he's known Dan his entire life. So like, fuck her for blaming him for anything at all.
Yikes. That, oof. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel bad for this whole situation right now.
Yes. And Lynch continues, hey, maybe if we didn't have to spend the whole day on the bunny hill, thanks to you, we would have gone home by now. Oh, or maybe if you'd stop sticking yourself into every single aspect of his life and it could have been just me and him like usual coming to this resort, my best friend wouldn't be dead right now.
Yeah. It's rough because I think like this is kind of an understandable reaction from both of them right now, like just looking for something, someone to blame, like some reason for what just happened, because it's not fair and it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the right solution, but I feel for both of them.
Yes, I know. Sometimes in horror, when like people are get into arguments, it's just like annoying. It's like, is now the time? What are you talking about? Like that doesn't make sense. Blah blah blah.
Right.
But everything here does feel very validated.
Exactly.
But by the end of this very messy argument where they both say things or insinuate things that they didn't really mean, both of them get to a point where they do exchange I'm sorries.
Okay.
And they hug it out and they just cry again.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah. So we're pretty much back to square one, feeling pretty helpless.
Yeah.
And this is our second survivability.
Oh my God.
Score. I know.
We're here.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's weirdly kind of simple up to this point, because I think girly pop 100, our guy like 15.
Yeah.
Assuming I find either I don't jump, I guess, which I think I'm going to assume I do, but trying like I know I'm not landing on my ankles. At the very least, I'm not doing that. The other guy, if I'm trying that, there's a chance I let go and I fall. So like for him, I'll say like 90. All right. So my second act score is a 68.
Okay. I'm a 72.
Okay. Yep. In the same realm.
Same thought process as well. It's like I'm probably the girl in the situation not doing anything.
Yep. Yep.
I really – honestly, I don't think I would even try to climb the cables. I know I don't have the strength to do it. Like I know I would fall.
Yeah.
I might as well jump if I'm going to try to do that and try to aim how I'm going to fall.
Right.
And then like you said, it's a high enough distance where it is hard to – aim right, but at the very least I'm like, I don't think I'd land on my ankles, but then what if I spin in the air and I accidentally land on my back or my head? Like I don't know.
It's hard
to do that jump.
Exactly. It's a rough situation.
Yeah. We get another small passage of time in the chair, and Lynch is thinking about how when he makes it out of here, he's gonna call that Shannon girl. And this whole time he's been like repeating that number over and over all night.
Oh.
And he's gonna ask her to marry him, and they're gonna have two dogs.
Oh.
Or two kids and a dog. Well, maybe two dogs and a kid if he wants to rethink. That would be more fun. But
yeah, I agree.
It's going to be great. He's like, you know, just fantasizing about a wonderful life.
Sure.
Parker isn't thinking so optimistically. Her brain goes exactly where mine would in this position, which is this. So she lives alone in her apartment and she has a puppy at home.
Oh.
and she's realizing that her puppy is going to keep waiting and waiting for her to come home.
Oh my God.
But she's not going to, because she's going to die, and now her puppy is going to starve to death waiting for her. And she just breaks down crying, but Lynch promises her that she's going to make it out of here alive. Both of them will. You know, he's being very reassuring. But I've literally had this dramatic thought process before. I call it dramatic. It's not here, because she's in a real situation where might die. But I'm like, oh my God, what if this, what if that, what if I don't make it home tonight? Because, and it's just like me overthinking, but I hate leaving Karma at home alone.
Yeah.
I immediately think like something's going to happen to me and no one's going to know something happened to me and she's going to just be alone at home, or the house is just going to burst into flames while she's home alone.
Yeah, right.
Like,
oh my God.
I hate it. So anyways, we cut to morning. The sun is rising. Both of them are sleeping. But then Parker wakes up to find that she fell asleep with her gloveless hand holding onto the metal bar of the chair.
Oh, no. No, no, no. How the fuck did she let that happen?
Also, like, low key, why is she not being offered a glove? I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Because she's the one who looks like the frostbite might really, like, she looks the worst.
That's true. I mean, I would at least be like, my hand would be like shoved in my like,
oh yeah,
sleeve, and then like however I could try and warm my hand. My hand would not just be sitting out in the cold.
No, or even with the glove specifically, like take shifts with it.
That's true. Yeah,
but no, yeah, she fell asleep like that, so it's completely frozen to the bar. She can't even like bend her fingers off. All it does is move the entire bar up. Like, as she tries to move her hand.
Oh, my God.
And she decides she's just going to have to force it.
No, no.
So she does.
No.
And we watch her skin stretch off of her hand as she pulls it off.
Okay.
Her palm is just, like, a bloody mess now. It took enough off, though, that it's not, like, drippy blood. It's, like, just the red surface underneath.
Like, the raw looking.
Yes.
I have a question. You said earlier that they lit a cigarette. Did they drop the lighter?
I don't think so. We didn't see that happen.
Okay.
So unless you're supposed to insinuate it.
Okay, they must have, because like, I'm like, okay, take the lighter and like warm up the sides of the bar, and you could maybe get your hand off.
I didn't even think that. What I thought was like, wake up Lynch and like have him like hold my hand.
Yeah, try to warm it up.
Like body heat.
I think you could.
I do too. And it's like, wait, we're not in a rush.
Yeah, so what? Like, yeah, I don't think I'm ripping my hand off that quickly in that situation. No.
But now her hand looks like that. And that is when Lynch wakes up, but she just like hides her hand away, like tucking it against her coat when he asks if she's okay. And she's like, I'm fine. Which
does he not see the skin on the bar?
And blood. There's also blood on the bar.
Oh my God.
Doesn't notice it. She's like, I'm fine. So he's hopeful that now that it's morning, maybe some sort of like maintenance crew for the mountain might come by and find them. Maybe there's like days off from them being open, that maintenance work is still being done.
Yep. You know what's crazy about doing this podcast? It makes me think about my daily life differently. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so another thing I need to be carrying around is a flare just in case. Like, I need a flare gun. Like, all of this shit that crosses my mind, because they had a flare gun or something. I think that they'd be
with
good.
The snow plow situation. Yeah. That is a good thing to have.
Like, the back of my car from now on is just going to have all of this like bizarre safety equipment. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know. Got to be prepared for literally anything.
You're like, I'm just running for groceries. Don't mind me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Lynch is being hopeful with the maintenance situation.
Sure. Me too.
Parker is doubtful. He's like, okay, well, even if maintenance doesn't come, like, our classmates will think it's weird when we don't show up for class and they'll report us missing. And she's like, okay, but nobody knows where we are. And we paid under the table to get on the mountain, so there's no record of us being here.
True.
Oh, also, she's got a bad case, like that frostbite they were worried about. It's happening. It's on her cheek and like spreading across her cheek, and it's itching. Or actually, the day before, it was itching really bad, and he kept on telling her, like, don't touch it, don't touch it.
Ugh,
but
gross.
Now it doesn't itch at all, which I think is actually a bad sign.
It's numb, right? Like, it's lost all feeling.
Yeah. Lynch knows they won't make it another night. He sees, like, how bad it's gotten overnight for her. He's like, okay, I just have to try the cable again and try to get to that pole ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's when Parker decides to be a little hopeful and is like, well, maybe you're right and maintenance will come through, because she knows it's like it's going to be really hard for him to do that and she's nervous about him doing that. So she's like, let's just give it a couple hours, and if no one comes by, then you can do it. So
okay.
Lynch ends up falling back asleep, but Parker finds herself facing a dilemma. She is no longer able to hold her pee.
Okay, this does suck because it's cold.
Exactly.
Ugh, that's the issue.
She ends up having to just let it go and pee her pants, and it's like dripping from the ski lift. Like, it's a lot. She's been holding it for a long time.
Yeah.
And she just cries while it happens because it sucks.
Yep.
And I would also, like you said about how cold it is, I'd be scared of like my literal pee freezing against me.
Yeah. No, that's my, like, I don't care if I have to pee my pants in a situation like this, like whatever. Yeah. But
it's that part. The cold.
It's the frozen part that I'm concerned about.
Yeah. More time passes. They have some like deep therapy talk. This is why the script is so short, is like there's a lot of ambient space where you're just like getting shots. Yeah. Like long shots of the environment. And then there's also like a lot of dialogue that just doesn't really matter. Like the dynamic matters, but the actual dialogue, it's like.
Sure.
So yeah, they have some like deep therapy talks and like get this new sense of determination. Like Dan died to save them. They can't give up. And Lynch is ready to give the cable another go. So he gets up there and gives it his best, and yes, he actually manages to monkey bar his way to the chair behind them.
Okay.
Halfway there. And his
what
hands
are
bleeding.
What the heck is going to go wrong? Dude, what is going to go wrong? Like, this should work. This should work.
His hands are bleeding worse than ever, though. And, like, the blood is attracting the wolves again.
Oh, okay. All right, I see. I see a future that I don't like.
So they're waiting below, hoping for him to fall. Also, during this venture, like on the cable, a screw came loose in Parker's ski lift from him, like bending the cable down.
Yeah,
from his
weight. Yikes.
And it kind of like fell lopsided to the side. Like it didn't fall down, but it like fell to the side on one side.
Okay, yep.
Tilted to the right. And she just is hoping, you know, that it doesn't fully fall off the cable, because that would be really bad.
Yeah.
Now there's one more stretch of cable for Lynch to climb across to reach that pole ladder. And Lynch knows if he even manages to make it to the ladder to be able to get down, he's going to have to face these wolves.
Mm-hmm.
So he has Parker throw his remaining ski pole that they still have, throw it down on the ground so that he can run to it and like use it to defend himself.
Sure.
Then it's time to try and actually climb this final length of cable to the pole, and Lynch succeeds.
Okay, we're good, because I'm waiting. The wolves are going to leave, and then I'm going to go down and I'm going to run back to the lodge and get help.
Okay, yeah. So you, in this situation, you would just wait on the ladder for the wolves to leave.
Yes.
He decides to go right to the ground. The wolves obviously attack. One of the wolves has like an upper hand at first, biting at his coat, but Lynch does his best to wrestle with it and is able to reach the ski pole that Parker threw down.
Mm-hmm.
And he stabs the wolf in its side, and it whines and runs away.
Okay.
And the pack kind of like is hive mind. They like do everything together. So like the pack leaves him be because of that.
Okay.
And he runs over to Parker's snowboard that was thrown to the ground, sits on it like a sled, and just starts riding down the mountain.
Okay.
He's going to go.
I love to see it.
Parker watches as the wolves start running after him again, now that his back is turned. And she screams at him to watch out, and we just see him disappear over a snowy hill, and then the wolves run after him and disappear over the hill too, and we are just left to be like, okay, I hope he's going to make it. We don't know. Same with Parker. She doesn't know. She doesn't hear anything.
Yeah. You know? Question.
But, yeah.
How far up the ski lift? Are we like smack dab in the middle kind of vibes? Yeah. Okay.
I'd guess... Oh, gosh. They set this ski resort to be like one of a really, really big one, because obviously they're like all different sizes of mountains.
Sure.
I would guess a mile up.
Oh, wow.
Probably.
Okay.
It's very big. Parker ends up falling asleep again. She's just waiting for him to come back with help. When she wakes up, there's still no sign of Lynch.
Whew.
So she decides that she's going to have to take matters into her own hands and – I think she originally here is planning to try and also climb across the cable.
Okay.
But when she stands on the lopsided ski lift, the loose screw completely falls out of the top of the chair and it starts plummeting.
Oh,
it's still
shit.
Connected to like a springy cable though. So it jolts to a stop midair thanks to the length of cable. And now she's about, I would say, two stories up instead of four or five. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
But the cable connected to this lift isn't made to carry weight like this, you know, because of how it's hanging. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing it start to break off at the top, like the cable starting to twist off. Parker sees that too. So she knows she needs to drop on her own instead of risking hurting herself even more by waiting for the entire lift to drop with her.
Fair.
So she lets go and she lands in the snow. No brakes, not even a sprain.
Okay, good.
But then the ski lift comes plummeting down. It broke off the cable and it lands on her foot.
Oh, jeez.
Thankfully, she has these huge, thick ski boots on.
Right.
So yes, it hurts. And now she probably has a sprained ankle, but she's able to pull her foot out from under the lift. Okay. And she's going to be fine. She starts army crawling down this hill.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm nervous, but it's good. It's better.
About halfway down, she sees blood.
Oh, shit.
And off to the side, at the edge of some trees, the pack of wolves is working on eating Lynch's dead body.
Hmm.
They see her.
Oh, God damn.
But they aren't bothered because they're in the middle of eating someone else. So okay. She just
save
keeps
her for
going.
Later.
Right.
Yeah. Midnight snack.
She makes it down the rest of the mountain until she reaches a road. Which, so they must be at a weird angle. I don't know. Like, she didn't end up at the resort. She comes out at a road.
Okay.
She decides to just lay down and wait in the road until, yes, like a car eventually drives by and stops when they see her.
Yeah.
This guy helps her into his car, calls 911, informing them, yes, I found her laying in the road right outside of Mount Holliston. I'm taking her to you now. And he reassures Parker, the hospital's only 10 minutes away. You're going to be okay.
Wow.
And in her head then, she hears Dan's voice say, you're going to be okay, baby. You're going to be okay. Because he kept saying that to her when they were on the lift. And she closes her eyes in the passenger seat and we get the final title card frozen. The end.
Wow.
I know.
What a straightforward movie. But like
very simple.
Very, very interesting. Honestly, I like the simplicity of it.
Me too.
It's like
it's because
it's
the concept
overly,
is interesting enough.
Exactly. It's not overly complex.
Yeah.
I kind of also like when we're not dealing with like a serial killer kind of vibe.
I
just
know.
Like the elements are interesting enough.
Yeah.
Wolves suck.
I know.
Like it sucks that we're dealing with wolves because they're just smart creatures.
Yeah, they're scary.
They're really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. But I really like this movie and I definitely want to watch it.
Yeah,
myself
you should.
As
you
well.
Should, like, while it's still wintertime because it's just that
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah, exactly. I've been, like, craving a lot of, like, wintery media lately. Mm-hmm. The thing with Lynch, I do think I would, like, wait. But at the same time, if it's a mile, I think the wolves are going to catch up to you no matter what you do.
I agree.
Because they're just waiting.
Yeah.
Like, they know you're there. They're nearby. Their sense of smell is incredible. Like, I feel like you're kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So on him, I'm like 8%. Maybe if I wait, maybe there's a chance. But then, eh. With our girl, I do feel like she kind of just falls into a lot of luck here.
I agree. It made it hard for the score.
Right. Because she doesn't do anything that's like, I couldn't do that. There's nothing.
Yep.
The lift falls, lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I would also jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs into the wolves. But hey, they're preoccupied eating her friend. So she's good to go. She waits. Someone finds her. Okay.
Yep.
I could see myself in those shoes. So it's tough with her.
I know. But the thing is, I do think I would be her. I mean, if I was with two guys, I definitely would be her. If it's a group of my, like, three girls, like, do you know what kind of friend you are on that equal playing field with the girls?
That's a like, great question.
Would you be the jump, the climb, or the neither, you know? Because I'm afraid I might be neither. I think I might be a coward.
I think I would too. Because like I always say, like I'm, you know, fight, flight, or freeze. And I'm very much a freeze girly.
Yeah.
So I could see myself being her.
Yeah, same.
And so with her, I feel like 90 percent.
Yeah. With her, it depends on who you're with. And obviously, we're talking about this movie, and the people we're with lead to the opportunities that she then gets. So
exactly. So between those two, my third X score comes out to a 49.
Okay.
And I'm going to see my overall 64.
I was okay. So I gave myself a third X score of 42.
Okay.
Same process where I kind of put a bit of a heavier weight on the girl situation. Yes. Because I think I am her out of these three people, but taking into account, of course, the Lynch situation.
Yep.
So yeah, 42 there, which brought my weighted to 62.
Oh my God.
Which brings our weighted together to 63.
Damn. I feel like this one, I think we're going to see from the community as well, a lot of the similar scores, because this movie, yeah, the characters, you're not sitting there yelling at them. The only thing I'm mad about is him landing on his ankles.
I know.
Like everything else. And maybe
Lynch like jumping the gun as far as like confronting the wolves right away. But like you said, yeah, they'll probably catch up anyway.
Exactly. And maybe that was his thought process in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So it feels like the outcome of this movie feels realistic in the sense that like she got lucky. Like, okay, mm-hmm, yes, convenience of mm-hmm everything that happens to her, maybe not super realistic, but assuming sure those things do happen, it feels like the outcome is pretty straightforward. Yeah.
And all of those lucky things that happened for her, I do feel like there wasn't any moment where I was rolling my eyes like, okay, that's so convenient. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, exactly, it works. Like, yeah, it is convenient when you step back and look at it, because they do need her to get out for this movie. They need, yep, something to happen. But
yep,
everything that they chose to happen made sense. So
yeah, I really liked that. That was, yeah, a good one.
It's fun to find movies like this, like you said, that are outside of like this classic slasher genre that the podcast usually works well for.
Yeah.
I would love to, like, going into 2026, like, just keep getting more creative with the types, yeah, of movies that we're covering.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a little bit about some stuff, and I don't know, I think you might see some more risks,
yeah,
from us in terms of the types of things that we, yeah, kind of cover this, definitely, next year, which I'm excited about.
Same. All right. You guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. We have a bunch of links over there, including one to our Discord where you can submit your own scores and let us know, would you survive?
That feels huge that we just finished episodes for the year. What the heck?
I know.